Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. Thank you for joining us today. I want to thank you for sharing with your friends, your family, and your associates. You know what? We just finished May. We have over 675,000 listeners here in the United States. We're very happy. We've actually been picked up by UK Health Radio, which will air to 85 countries. So we're very, very excited to be part of that network. Now, we're going to talk about love in the air. Even if you're 45, 55, 65, older and single, hey, where do you go out finding dates? You know what? Seniors have a lot to give and actively play the love game with a little help from technology. We have Morgan Henderson, who's going to share that whole experience with us, what people are looking for, where they're finding dates, what's going on with the dating apps, what are the misinterpretations, the heartbreak, the whole shot. Now, we're also going to be talking about money habits in this post-pandemic world, so stick around for that. But now, here's a big question. How do you break through superficial interaction, get real, create meaningful connections with people in every aspect of life? We have Dr. David Bradford, his associates, Carol Robbins, wrote a wonderful book called Connect, Building Exceptional Relationships with Friends, Family, and Colleagues. You know what? The reality is they're both Stanford graduate school professors, and they teach this wonderful class, and it's known as the touchy-feely class. They've had students call them 10 years after taking the course and tell them how the course saved their marriage, helped them break through to an estranged sibling, and many other things. Now, for me, I took a similar course at Pepperdine, and I'll tell you, it made all the difference in the world because I used to develop businesses overseas, and it was a different environment. So when I went into the corporate world, I was one of six people that were brought in from the outside. And you know what? This course enabled me to connect with people that, quite frankly, in many cases were 20, 30 years older than I was, and sometimes 40, and be able to prosper in that environment. So I'm very thankful. So, David, welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here to share this with us.
Glad to be here. Looking forward to it.
Now, here's one of the big things I'd like to ask, and especially in this pandemic age. What damage technology is having on our ability to connect?
Well, I think it has had a major negative effect. And I think that we see this with Zooming. Now, Zooming is probably better than maybe a phone call. But I have a colleague who said, the advantage of Zooming is I cut to the chase. But the question is, what do we cut out? And I think what we cut out is the personal aspects, the sort of things that happen when you're at the office, have coffee with somebody, have lunch with somebody, drop by their office. It's that schmoozing that starts to build relationships. And we've now become so task-focused that we lose the personal connection.
Mm-hmm. I also think with too much technology, people have to take too long. Well, they take a while to get reconnected. So if they're playing with their cell phone, but trying to have a conversation with somebody, they're distracted. So you're not fully present. And if you can't be fully present, then you know what? You have a lack of memory. You don't really get what somebody's meaning. So I totally agree with that. Now, you know what? Let's talk about Zoom here. You know what? My understanding is in your book, you have this 90-second exercise that can improve the strength of your personal and professional relationships over Zoom. How does that work?
Yeah, many CEOs in Silicon Valley are doing this. And what they do is they start their weekly meeting with each member of the team, including the leader, having 90 seconds. To answer the question multiple times, if you really knew me today, you'd know that I'm excited about this project. You'd know that I'm distracted because my son's sick. You'd know that I'm hoping that we really can get to a decision today, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what they find is that when each person takes 90 seconds and shares, if you really knew me today, we do get to know each other. And it makes a big difference in the effectiveness of getting the task done. It's not wasted time. It's actually a great investment.
It's almost like somebody setting an intention for a meeting, but now everybody has the intention because they're all connected to it.
That's right. That's right. And I know you as a person. I know that if you're a little distracted, Steve, I have a sense of what it is. And that's not just that I've done something that's bothered
you. Yeah. You know what? There's too many people that I always equate that to, you know, somebody cuts you off and you get all upset. Well, I don't get all upset. People get all upset and they do the middle finger and all that stuff. But the person who cut them off doesn't even realize they cut them off.
Right. So, and the trouble is I do it all the time.
What experiences do we all need as humans, and what can we do to give people that experience? I think, you know what, everybody needs an experience to be able to connect. So how do we go about doing that?
Well, I think I want to go back to technology. So I think there's another point that you made there. And that's the trouble with Facebook and all these things, which get us to present an image. And I see so many people, some of my colleagues, who hold the assumption that if I'm ready to be like a leader, if I'm powerful, if I'm to be sexy, whatever it is, I have to pretend to be something I'm not. And what we find in this course that you mentioned, the touchy-feely course, is that as people take the risk of letting themselves be known in an appropriate way, they're more intriguing, they're more interesting, and they're more leader-like. So I think that there's something in our society that gets us into presenting images, and it's not to our advantage.
I actually agree with that. You know what? Like for me, I have a face for radio, but some reason I'm on TV. I'm just having fun. Now, you know what? I'm going to say this. People lose connections in lives. You know what? They have strained relationships. You know what? You know what? What can we do about stuff like that? How can we get those relationships back? How can we get those connections back?
Well, that's a great question. It's a complicated one. Let me start with an analogy. Let's say you're driving to work and you find that the wheels seem to be a little going off and the steering's a little loose and there's a knock in the engine. You don't say bad car, and leave it in the ditch. You take it to get fixed. So I see difficulties we have interpersonally as a sign that something's going on. And if I could hold the intention that I want to keep this relationship, then rather than blaming the other, maybe we can start to look at what's going on. And I think the first place to look is yourself, because most interpersonal issues have an interpersonal component. And are you willing to say, hey, am I doing something? Rather than immediately jumping the conclusion, it's the other person's fault. And I think if we have that intention of wanting to improve, seeing the bad steering, the problems we're having as a sign that something needs to be worked on, we can reconnect, even if we feel a little put off by the other person.
So what you're saying is that people need to realize it takes two to tango.
Yep.
There's two sides to this disconnection. And you got to own your side and be comfortable enough to say, hey, look, I know some of the issues are mine. Let's work this through.
Yes, and I think when I don't do that, I build up the story. And I love that story because I'm always right and the other person's always wrong. And it's so disconcerting to have an open discussion and find it's more complicated. The world isn't that simple. But yet it's the complicated world that's also the more interesting one.
That's great. Hey, look, we're going to stop right there for a second. I'd say thank you to our sponsor, Scoremaster.com. Now, did you know the average American has 97 points they can add to their credit score, but have no idea how to get them? The data scientists at Scoremaster cracked the code on how. Adding 97 points to your credit score is like found money. It means fast loan approvals, huge discounts, low interest rates on everything from buying or refinancing a home to leasing a new car to applying for a credit card. How fast does Scoremaster? One member raised their credit score 33 points in just 5 days, another 43 points in a couple weeks. Scoremaster is so easy. It takes about a minute to get started. And if you hurry, you can get to try Scoremaster for free. That's right. Try Scoremaster for free and see how many points you can add to your credit score. Go to scoremaster.com/savings. That's scoremaster.com/savings. And again, that's scoremaster.com/savings. So stick with us. We're going to be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
You're listening to the Saving with Steve Show. I want to welcome you back. We're here with David Bradford, co-author of the book Connect. Now, we've been talking about how to develop meaningful relationships, how to do that through Zoom and many other things. But now I'd like to talk to David a little bit about the signature traits of a successful relationship. You know, what does it look like? What are the characteristics of it? What can we do to cultivate it? All those good things.
Okay. We found in our work that there's six key dimensions. One is, to what extent can I really be myself? That is, not spin an image, not try to pretend to be something else, but can I let you know who I really am? A second, can I do things which encourage you to do the same, so we can have a more honest relationship, a more trusting relationship? I think part of the trust is a third characteristic, that when I share things about myself, I know you're not going to use that against me. You're not going to pin me against the wall like a butterfly and say, well, isn't it because of this and this and this, but that you're truly curious. The fourth one is, can we be honest with each other? And I think there's a big difference between being brutally honest, which I find is more brutal than honest, and really being honest about what's going on with me. The fifth dimension is, can we lean into and accept conflict and disagreements and be able to resolve them in a way that's not only productive for the resolution, but actually builds the relationship? And the last one, which I find really important, is that we know that you and I, we're each committed to the other person's growth. And that's back to honesty, because it may mean that I'm going to tell you something that is bothering me, but I think it's important for you to know. So those are the characteristics. And a way to build relationship is to say, which of these characteristics now need working on? Am I holding something back? I need to be honest. Am I holding myself? Am I avoiding an issue? And if we deal with those, relationships can deepen and become more significant.
You know what? I think those are very simple, and I agree they're very tough. And you know what? I'll say this. For me personally, 15 years ago, I went through a bout of colon cancer. And quite frankly, going through that, recovering from it, basically pretty much my family knew, but very few people I worked with knew. And people that did know me, that knew about it, encouraged me to tell people. It's just one of those things that I kind of felt embarrassed that, hey, I had cancer. And you know what? Basically, it's a good story, but the reality is, the people who encouraged me to say, hey, you need to tell people about that because that's the foundation of what you do and why you do things. I said, yeah, but I'm embarrassed. I had cancer. You know, it just took me the longest time to go past that. But once I did, oh, geez, the doors just open up left and right. But I also felt like, you know what, because my journey, and some people actually called it more of a hero's journey because of what had happened. And I just felt like, you know what, hey, I'm bragging. Why should I do this? It's, you know, it's not my nature. So it's tough.
It's tough. But, and there's actually two parts to what you're talking about. One is the fact of you having colon cancer. And the second part is your embarrassment. And we tend to underestimate the power of emotions. And yet emotions tell us a lot about ourselves and make us very human. So having colon cancer is a fact. But having you say, Jim, I'm embarrassed, makes you really human. And it's often those feelings which are hardest for us to disclose.
Yeah, in fact, I'm feeling warm right now just saying it.
And so, I think the other part, I said the second dimension was helping other people be more open. With you sharing that, it probably encouraged other people to say, wow, I have this, or I'm worried about that. But they also become more human because you were.
Yeah. You know what? I've found that I've been able to talk to a lot of people about the emotional side of recovery when it comes to recovering from something like cancer. And I've connected with a lot of people that way. In the financial consulting world and being about money, What we're talking about in a way will help people develop the relationships through business and other things to make more money and things like that. But I've also found that helping people get prepared for what's going to happen later in life. You know what? I had cancer at 40 or 42. Wow. Some people, I have a younger brother had it at 52. And there's other people I know, they have it in their 70s. And, you know, even in their 70s, they go, I can't believe this happened to me. They have somebody help them deal with the weird phone calls they get from friends and family members that don't know what to say or how to say it. And you know what? It's my way of helping. And I actually feel good about that. But you know what? There's many things there that being authentic, especially if you're a senior manager and you're looking to, for example, I was a 20-year-old executive for a company that everybody was older. I always felt like I had to, have a great vocabulary. And when I kind of dumbed it down a little bit, it even got better. it was interesting because the CEO, Tom McKernan at the time, basically says, you know what? Got to make it simple and easy for people to understand. Some of these big words, people just lose you. So just, act like everybody's stupid and just get to the point and you're going to be just fine.
Well, and I think the other thing is that when we put on an image, we think we can fool people, but people see through it all the time and we lose credibility because of it. And if we were more human, I think it builds credibility. There's a lot of research to support that. The leaders who are human are people that others want to follow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I found that work quite well, and it's done quite well for acquiring clients as well, because I think that people buy you or like you or want to work with you because they like you and trust you. And one of the ways to do that is to be authentic and share something of yourself and the way really things are, and be a little bit vulnerable, or being authentically vulnerable, if that makes sense.
Appropriately so. Yeah.
So, I'd like to switch gears a little bit with you. How has the pandemic affected the way we interact with coworkers and build relationships?
It's made it very, very hard. My son is a senior engineer at Microsoft, and he was talking about how difficult it is with new hires, of how do you get to know them as people? And again, when all of our conversations are Zoom or on the phone, we're very tasky, as I said. And how do we become more personal? I think that's one thing. I think the other thing is that in some ways it's timely that our book came out about relationships, because I think the pandemic has shown how much we need them. I mean, I think the amount of depression that people have experienced, the amount of loneliness, we are social animals. And we need to connect. And I think the sad thing is how difficult people have in making these connections. And our hope is that the book will help people know how to reach out and how to make linkages and how to deepen the relationship in this pandemic time in which so many things are surfacey and distant, unconnected.
Yeah, I think I agree with that, especially with the surfacey side. You work with people on Zoom, and like you said before, people are just kind of getting to it. There's no real relationship development, or it's a distracted development because they've got, cell phones and other things going off, and they're not really paying attention. And that's sad. I agree with your son's assessment. My son last year during the pandemic had an internship with a company. And he was dealing with the director of engineering. My son wants to be an engineer. But all the other people that were involved with the meetings, it was on Zoom, but he was the only one that had his picture on. Everybody else had it off. And even the director was, it wasn't the best experience in the world for him. He learned things by his own doing. But it wasn't the best experience, because even the director would say, hey, I'm going to send you this information. I'll send it to you this afternoon. And he'd be emailing and never get that information. And 2 days later, he'd get the information so he can do the thing he needed to do. So it was just real interesting. So
yeah, it's really hard. And when you think when we're at the office, you drop by somebody's office and say, hey, you promised that. Can I get it now? And I think the other thing we know is that in organizations, we do business with people. There's issues of money and strategy and so on. And the more that we can build open, strong relationships, the more productive we are. There's a lot of evidence to show that.
Yeah. David, we're coming close to the end here. I just want to make sure everybody knows that they can get your 5-star rated book on Connect, Build Exceptional Relationships with Friends, Family, and Colleagues. They can get it on Amazon. It's a wonderful place to go get it. You and Carol do coaching, executive coaching, and other types of coaching. How can people get a hold of you if they need your help in that direction?
I think they go to our website, which is connectandrelate.com, or they can email me directly, which is dlbrad@stanford.edu. And I can get you in touch with Carol, who's a very effective coach and consultant.
David, I want to thank you for sharing this. I believe what you're talking about is so needed today, especially with what's going on with politics, this pandemic. And I think people have a lot of work to do on their relationships because of all the technology. And I'm just thankful that you're here to share the wisdom today.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it. Good luck.
Hey, be safe, be healthy, and we'll possibly have you back in the future. See you, David.
Good.
Bye-bye.
I bet.
Now, everybody, that was David Bradford. He's a co-author along with Carol Robbins for the book Connect, Build Exceptional Relationships with Friends, Family, and Colleagues. We're thankful that he's here. Hey, you're going to stick with us. We're going to be right back. We're going to be talking about the money habits in a post-pandemic world. Be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. Wasn't David Bradford wonderful? You know what? If we can all have the ability to connect with the people we work for, with the people that we love or live with, our kids, our family, to get past the conflicts, we would have much better relationships, deeper lives. And I think David Bradford and Carol Robbins actually amplify that in their book, Connect. Now, right now, we're going to be talking about financial literacy for kids. Now, obviously, we live in a different world than what we left. We're talking, 15, 16 months ago. Are the actions that used to be okay during the pandemic in terms of spending and saving still okay? What has changed in the world of personal finance over the last 14, 15, 16 months since the pandemic has gotten its terrible grip on the nation? If you're an older American, are there specific actions you should be taking now, even as the pandemic cloud starts to fade? For some workers in their 50s and 60s who kept their jobs, saving money wasn't necessarily so difficult during the pandemic. But for them, basic pleasures like travel and eating out just didn't happen. And many also received hearty financial bonuses called stimulus payments. So savings was easier. For others, particularly those who lost their job or whose businesses or income took a hit, it remains a serious struggle. In either case, as that pandemic loosens its grip, it's time to rethink how to spend and save. What we've done is created a couple money habits for a post-pandemic world. And it's that world of spending. Now, I want to be very clear. Have fun. The world's opening up. But quite frankly, don't go crazy. People have pent-up demand to spend on things that they haven't done for a while, like eating out, going to special events, concerts, traveling. They're going to be the desire to break out and just go nuts. My best advice is to plan and go back slowly. But don't go crazy. Have a real plan for paying for your entertainment expenses. You know what? You don't want to be taking on debt here. The key here is to earn an interest as opposed to pay the interest. So you don't want to be taking on debt. Next, bolster your retirement savings. For those folks who are already on solid savings paths, you practice a healthy spending saving balance. It's time to take the excess savings that you built in during the pandemic. Hey, pad your retirement. For those who might have fallen behind, during their savings during the pandemic, you might even be overspending during the crisis. Now is the moment to take that excess stimulus payment out of your checking account and put it in your retirement savings as a makeup payment. Now, some people, regardless of what I say or do, you know what? They just don't have the willpower, the need, the drive to save more. And if that's your case, now is the perfect time to set up auto pay. So from your paycheck, auto pay into your travel account, auto pay into your retirement, auto pay into building an emergency fund. Okay. Now, this is important. You want to do this before the world starts opening up so you don't go back to those old bad habits or those bad habits that you created during the pandemic. And talking about bad habits, you know what? You want to go back post-COVID, you know, being more responsible with money. You know, during the pandemic, many people limited their grocery store trips or even the department store trips to, you know, typically brought a list and stuck to that list. And you know what? They didn't do any impulse shopping. I suggest that consumers continue this course after the pandemic. Limiting trips to the supermarket, only purchase things you have on your list is a great way to go. It's a great way not to overspend. And hey, what about cutting back on non-essential expenses? You know what? If your family is anything like mine, hey, we spend our time watching TV together, cable TV. You know what? You know what? It was a shelter for us because we couldn't really get out. That's about to change. Families are going to venture outside. They're going to go back to the movies. The key here is why continue paying huge cable bills for channels that nobody watches? That's those packages. You know what? You could drop your bill by over $100. We did this, but we did it many years ago. We just kept the internet. And then what we did is we paid for the, you know, the Netflix, the Hulu Live or the AT&T Live, the Amazon Prime so you can get all the movies and everything. But we're saving over $100 a month doing that. You know what? Think twice about buying a house with interest rates to the historic lows. We also got inventory at historic lows. It's enticed people to jump into the housing market or to purchase a bigger home. But housing prices have jumped really high. And you have to think about it, whether it's worthwhile. Are prices still, you know, simply too frothy right now to take on the debt? You know what? Once older age people who didn't want people walking through their house, possibly contracting COVID, start putting their houses on the market because they're looking to move into a 55 and older community, a continued care retirement community, or even move to a lower tax state, okay, you're going to see more houses on the market. Interest rates will go up, which means houses are going to take a lot longer time to sell. Values will start to stabilize, reduction in prices. So think twice before you buy a new house. You know what? Clicking and buying less. Oh my gosh. I'm just going to state this fact. Amazon increased their client base by fivefold. That means they have five times as many clients as before. The single worst spending habit that many consumers developed during the pandemic was clicking and buying stuff online. That's because folks weren't able to get to the store, so shopping online evolved into the next best thing. You know what? Hey, folks go and purchase things that they want but don't actually need. You push a button, stuff appears on your doorstep the next day or the day after that. So be mindful. Take a mindful approach to online shopping. Before you push the button, ask yourself, do you really need it? Take a day or two. For folks who continue to purchase things that they don't need, I suggest just getting rid of the app, okay? Now, many people are saying, hey, what about spending on bettering yourself? During the pandemic, some folks who wanted a career advancement or career change started to spend money on education for additional training. That means certifications or higher degrees. Now is not the time to stop spending on that. But instead, this is exactly the time to increase the spending as the economy recovers, and you'll be rewarded for it. Keep in mind, this pandemic has speeded up technology for online things, and there's going to be new industries, divisions, this whole blockchain thing. The more you understand it, the better you have the ability to help a company move forward, which means your career advancement is going to go up. So don't stop the spending. The other thing, balanced fitness spending. Many folks were unable to go to the gym or pool during the pandemic, so they purchased a new home or a home gym or even built a swimming pool at their house. If you did this, you need to remember to drop your gym and pool memberships. It may take several years cutting back on paying off major expenses like swimming to pay off expenses like swimming pools and gyms, but hey, make sure you're doing it. Now, one of the things I want to point out to you, I want to make sure you review all your pandemic habits. It takes 2 to 8 months to build a new habit or behavior into your life. And COVID-19, 14, 15 months resulted in new habits for all of us. Some of them good, some of them bad. Some of the bad ones, hey, they ground down your savings. Some of the good ones might be that you got better shape. But most of these habits, like using food delivery services or signing up for subscription services, that cost you money. I know my wife went and got a number of the workout apps, okay? She got the Weight Watchers. She's got the Jazzercise. She's got the yoga app. She's got another one. She's got five or six of them. When we sat down and had the discussion, we found out she only used one of those apps. So we got rid of the rest of them. You can too. If you're not having food delivered to the house, don't pay for that description. If you had wine delivered to the house, hey, there's a cost of that. And if you're buying it from a winery, you're probably paying top rate. So go get the wine from the store. Look at other things you could reduce the cost and still do the same thing. We talked about the cable bill. Hey, there's nothing wrong with getting an extra $100 a month just by readjusting your cable bill. You can do that same thing with your cell phone bill, your auto insurance, your homeowner's insurance, what car you drive, how you do things, okay? Now is the time to identify all these behaviors and figure out which ones are purposeful and worth keeping and which ones you need to scrap, okay? Now, this segment was brought to us by Scoremaster.com. Did you know the average American has 97 points they can add to their credit score, but no idea on how to get them? The data scientists at Scoremaster have cracked the code on how. Adding 97 points to your credit score is like found money. It means fast loan approvals, huge discounts, low interest rates on everything from buying or refinancing a home to leasing a new car to applying for a credit card. How fast is Scoremaster? One member raised his credit score 33 points in just 5 days. Another 43 points in just 2 weeks. Scoremaster is so easy. It takes about a minute to get started. If you hurry, you get to try Scoremaster for free. That's right. Try Scoremaster for free and see how many points you can add to your credit score. Go to scoremaster.com/savings. That's scoremaster.com/savings. Again, that's scoremaster.com/savings. Now, you want to stick with us. We got another lovely segment. We're going to be talking about how love is in the air with people over 45, what people are looking for in dating, how to go about doing it, what are the ins and outs, pitfalls, what do people want from it. We got Morgan Henderson of Mutual Choice, an independent insurance company. And we'll look forward to talking to her just next. All right, stick with us. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. This is Steve Sexton. Again, I want to thank you for joining us, sharing it with your friends and family. You know what? We just hit the 675,000 listener mark. We're very, very excited and humble. So please keep sharing this with your friends and family. Hey, you know what? You can find us on Spotify, Apple. You know what? Podcasts are available, whether you're here in the States or around the world, we're available for you. Now, we just had some wonderful conversations with the authors of Connect, Carol Robbins and David Bradford. You know, I know it's all touchy-feely, but it saves lives and it saves relationships. So you want to check that out. We talked about financial literacy for kids. Now, today, this next segment, you know what? Love's in the air. If you're 45, 55, 65 or older and single, where are you going to go find a date? I mean, we had COVID and everything. You know what? Got to start over. Okay. All right. I blew that one. Sorry.
Yeah, you're fine.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show. This is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us. I also want to thank you for sharing with your friends and family members. You know what? We have a little over 65,000 followers and listeners now, so we're very thankful and humbled by that. So I just want to walk into, you know, we had that wonderful conversation with David Bradford, the author of Connect. You know, it's about how to build relationships, spouse, family, ones that you might not have had a great relationship. Their course of Save People's Lives. And you know what? It's just a wonderful book you can get on Amazon. Now, we also talked about financial literacy for kids. Hey, the earlier you start, the better. Now, the next part, I think it's a really cool segment, okay? Yeah, love's in the air. Even if you're 45, 55, 65 or older and single, hey, where do you go finding a date? You know what? If you're over 45, you have a lot to give, are actively playing with the love game a little bit for a little help with technology. We have Morgan Henderson, analyst for Choice Mutual, an independent financial insurance company, to share with us the best ways to for seniors to find dates, the best apps, seniors, what seniors value in relationships, the misinformation that people get when they're dating, cheating, and more. I always got to have cheating. You know, I feel like when we're talking about dating, it's like high school, you know, everybody's villain, inferior, self-confident, the whole shot. It doesn't matter how old you are. So Morgan, welcome to the show. I thank you for being here today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you sharing your wisdom, the information that you found. Now, there'll be the study on senior dating on our savingwithsteve.us website. Just go to the resource tab and the information will be available for you if you'd like to check it out after the show. Now, here's the big question. So what is dating like for, you know, people 45, 55, 65 or older that are single?
I mean, when we ran this survey, we didn't really know what to expect. We surveyed only seniors. So anyone that's 55 and older, that was the target for the survey, and we surveyed 2,000 of them. So pretty solid group of people that we interviewed or that we surveyed, and they have a lot of the same relationship struggles that anyone else does, that all of the younger generations do. You know, they're, like you mentioned, they're dealing with cheating. They're dealing with, you know, not being able to maintain relationships for a long time. There are some of them that have never been in a relationship that lasted longer than a year. So everyone else is experiencing the same thing as the younger generations, as, you know, the millennials and the zillennials, you know, all of these younger people. So, they're, you know, going back to the cheating, there were quite a few interesting findings with the cheating. In fact, we found that, the vast majority of people had experienced cheating in a relationship, whether they were being cheated on, whether they were cheating on their partner, or whether they've experienced both, maybe not necessarily in the same relationship. But there were a lot of people that had experienced that. So
what you're saying is people that have experienced cheating in the past, either they've done it themselves or had it done to them, they're still experiencing those same feelings, those same behaviors. They're just continuing on.
Yes. Yes. And what was actually really interesting is we dove into looking at cheating for the people that were married, for the people that were divorced and separated. And out of just the respondents that were divorced or separated, 42% reported that they had a partner cheat on them. And even more interesting was that only about a quarter of the people that were divorced and separated that were part of the survey hadn't experienced cheating in some form. So almost 3/4 of them had either cheated, been cheated on, or both in a relationship.
Oh, wow. That leaves her a lot of baggage, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And going along with that, 80% of the married respondents had never cheated on a partner. So, you know, safe to say that when you don't cheat, your marriage is probably going to be a little more successful. Surprise, surprise.
But I was going to say, that's kind of the gimme. Okay. That's something else. Now, you know what, let's start talking about, you have the pandemic here. It's kind of winding down. You know what, where do people go to meet people, find dates? You know, I know people are using apps, but there's other places that people are going to as well.
So as you mentioned, the dating apps are definitely a big one, which was also extremely surprising to us that Out of the seniors who had dated within the last 5 years, 66% of them that were on dating apps had found someone that they ended up having a relationship with. So those that are using apps are seeing success. Even if it is like a shorter term relationship, they're finding those people that they connect with online. But apart from that, there are a lot of people that are asking for introductions from friends, right? I mean, asking mm-hmm. to go on blind dates to be set up. And because we looked at the senior demographic, this also includes senior living communities and retirement communities. So we asked these seniors in the survey to tell us what ways they found were the best for finding a relationship. And 7% of them said that looking in a senior living community or in a retirement community was the best way to find a relationship partner. So yeah, they're going about, as we mentioned before, most of the same ways that the younger generations are, whether they're on vacation, whether it's in school. A lot of them are going to dating events. They're still going to bars and clubs.
Oh, really?
So 6% said that they're.
I've been married for almost 30 years, so it's one of those things where like I just have no clue.
Yeah, no, and I think it's that you know, even for me as someone who isn't married, who's single, I was surprised to find out that seniors were still going to bars and clubs because it's typically more associated with those younger generations that are a lot more high energy, wanting to go out and party and that. So yeah, they're all finding using the same ways as anyone else, the younger generations, to find relationship partners.
Okay. So not to date myself, but like back in the day, it was school, obviously the bars and the nightclubs, church, family events where other families would be bringing there. That's where you'd meet people and stuff like that. Obviously vacation sometime. I actually met a girlfriend in Australia that was from Sweden, and that worked out for a couple of years, and that was great. But let's start talking about the dating apps. And you know what, being, you know, somebody in their mid-50s, this is, and obviously married, so I have no clue about this stuff. It was interesting how many people trusted a dating app.
Yes, yes. So about a third, so it was 34% of the seniors that we surveyed were using dating apps. And as I mentioned earlier, 66% of those people on dating apps have found at least one relationship on those dating apps. So the top dating app, which was another kind of a surprise to us, was Tinder. 35% of the people that use Tinder said that they found a relationship, which again, it's more associated with the younger generations. There are more of like the senior focused dating apps. You have like Silver Singles and, you know, there are a few other ones that are more associated with older generations. Silver Singles, I think, would happen to be the most prominent out of those. But then there are other ones like Hinge. Hinge was another one. 25% of seniors that were on Hinge were finding relationship partners. You have Match.com, Plenty of Fish, Bumble. So again, the same ones that the younger generations are using are now also being used by the older generations. And they're finding just as much, possibly if not more success on these dating apps than the younger generations are.
So just out of curiosity, and this might be my little facetious nature. So are people still posting different pictures and all that kind of stuff?
Yep. It's all probably the same as what you can imagine. It's, you know, you've got the pictures, you're able to send people messages on the apps, and seniors are doing just the same as the younger generations.
So people are putting the glamour photos and all that kind of stuff. And
yep. And they're probably, I'm sure, some of the profiles that are just as terrible as when I'm swiping through. You look at a picture and you wonder, why did they put this on their profile? Absolutely happens for seniors as well.
Okay. So everybody, it's funny. Just, it seems like everybody just doesn't have a clue, and they're just trying to maneuver it the best way they can. And if they do have a clue, they've been dating too much anyways. So, you know, it's like this. When I grew up, I used to be a doorman at a bar long, many, many years ago. But all the guys that had the nice suits on and could talk They were really smooth and all that. They were dating everybody. And there was always somebody, some girl that was upset with them because their whole world was just to date as many people as possible. And on the other side of it was about to, somebody wanted to have a relationship and they didn't realize what they're getting involved with. So I guess that adage kind of holds true.
Yeah, it absolutely probably does hold true in the context of seniors, which again was quite surprising to us. And I think that it really does go to show that like, we're all just kind of winging it. We're all just trying to figure it out in life. Like no one really knows how to date well. That's, I mean, when you stop dating, it's because you found someone, not because you're good at dating, you know? So
everybody's going to muddle through it for the first 400 or 500 times. So let's start talking about what do seniors value in a relationship?
Yeah, probably a lot of the same things most of us do. Although it does seem like, you know, younger generations, especially those that are just starting out in dating, probably are going to value more things like common interests, like asking people what they have in common, which it's a normal thing. It's a good way to get a conversation started. However, seniors have a little more experience in life and they realize that common interests can be important for making that initial connection. But in the end, trust was the number one highest ranking factor. We had them rank 9 different factors for a relationship. We had them rank trust, honesty, communication, emotional intimacy, empathy, loyalty, physical intimacy, sexual attraction, and common interests. And the way that I just listed those is actually the order in which they were the most highly ranked. So trust was number one, honesty was number two, and communication was number three, which is incredible. I think it's really great that that's what seniors and what everyone should actually be valuing in a relationship. And those bottom three, again, kind of associated with the younger generations, like people who are typically going to be going to parties and bars and that kind of thing, going to clubs and trying to make connections there. You have that common interest, the sexual attraction and the physical intimacy aspect of it. When in reality, seniors are recognizing that those aren't the things that are going to make a relationship great. Yes, it might start a conversation and get a relationship started with a person, but that's not going to be what holds the relationship together in the end.
Nothing like a little bit of experience to tell you that. So that's one thing that's real different when you have somebody that's 15 to 25 or something like that. And they're dating. So no, I totally get that. So you know what? I'm going to take a little break right now. I want to thank Scoremaster.com for sponsoring the show. Did you know the average American has 97 points they could add to their credit score, but no idea on how to get it? The data scientists at Scoremaster cracked the code on how adding 97 points to your credit score is like found money. It means fast loan approvals, huge discounts, and low interest rates on everything from buying or refinancing a home to leasing a new car to applying for a credit card. How fast does Scoremaster one member raise their credit score 33 points in just 5 days, another 43 points in 2 weeks? Scoremaster is so easy, it just takes a minute to get started. And if you're in a hurry, you can try Scoremaster for free. That's right, try Scoremaster for free. See how many plus points you can add to your credit score. So go to Scoremaster.com, /savings. Go to Scoremaster.com/savings. Again, that's Scoremaster.com/savings. Hey, stick with us. We're going to be
more
right
expert
back
advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show. We talked to David Bradford on their the author of the book, Connect. We talked about financial literacy. We're talking to Morgan Henderson about senior dating. And yes, love is in the air. Now, again, I want to truly thank you for tuning in and appreciating letting your friends and family members and associates know about the show. All the replays are available at www.savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insights on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to your YouTube channel or our Spotify or Apple channel and never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, and Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of financial personal freedom. Also follow us on Facebook and join the Saving with Steve Sex and Insiders Club or savingwithsteve.us to get all our replays, exclusive access to after show videos, guest gifts, and more. So Morgan, thanks for being here with us today. I love this topic. It's all about senior dating. Quite frankly, I hope it never happens to me. And that means my wife would have to pass away and I don't ever want that to happen. But there's a lot of people out there that are dating. Now, we just talked about, you know, what people value in a relationship. We talked about the apps are doing, where they're finding people. You know what? We got to talk to the downside here or the dark side of dating. Okay. Relationship misinformation for people over 55. Let's start chatting about that. I mean, it's a big subject. It's a broad subject. You know, before you talked about what people value, you know, the loyalty, the common interest, the emotional interest, the empathy, the honesty, the communication, and the trust. So what misinformation, I mean, and I'm not talking about the misinformation that you see on the Tinder app where somebody looks voluptuous and beautiful, and then you show up and you're like, what happened?
I mean, there are lots of struggles. Like we mentioned earlier, I mean, seniors are also experiencing cheating in relationships, just as anyone else, any other age is going to be experiencing. But there are also just some like really, really sad parts about dating for anyone, but especially things that seniors are mostly going to experience. And one of those is unfortunately losing a spouse, having them pass away. And one of, oddly enough, this might be one of my favorite statistics from the survey, as sad as it is, but when you're heartbroken, dating just might not be on the table for you. And, when talking about this with, or when surveying our respondents about this, there were a lot of them that were widowed, and only 14% of widowed respondents have seriously dated in the last 5 years. There were some that also kind of casually dated, probably, you know, like testing the water, seeing if it was for them. But 62% of widowed respondents haven't dated at all in the last 5 years. And I think that's only understandable. You know, there are lots of stories about couples that once their spouse passes away, they only live for a few more days, or they both just decline very rapidly together and that kind of thing. And I look at my own grandparents. I had my grandma died. And then not even 6 months later, my grandpa passed away. And during that 6 month period, after my grandma had passed, his health just declined so rapidly. And I do think that that's probably because he just missed his wife. He talked about her all the time. And I think that's completely normal for someone who's experienced that type of extreme heartache when they've been with someone for 20, 30, 40, 50 plus years for some of them. And losing someone that's been by their side for so long just takes them out of the dating game, and they don't want to get back into it once their spouse is gone.
Yeah. You know what? Being a financial consultant, I've dealt with many people. One gentleman, I remember his wife had passed away. He was in his, I'm going to say late 80s. And basically his wife passed away, and I, you know, they had the memorial and everything. It was about 10 days later. And I just met with him to go over stuff, trust, things like that. My rule is, hey, don't do anything after your spouse passes away. Make sure you figure out which way you want to go in your life. And I remember him telling me, he goes, you know what? He goes, I don't know if I can handle this, Steve. This is really, really tough for me. And what is it? Less than a day later, he passed away, and there was nothing physically wrong with him prior to that. And on the other side, you know what? I lost a brother in March. And he's 52. He passed away from cancer. And you know what? And his wife says, I'll never get married again. I'm never going to date. And the reality is, I've actually heard that many times from people who have lost a spouse. You know, I don't want to date. You know what? The only ones that I've seen that have dated are ones that have actually taken care of the ill spouse for a number of years. It's all of a sudden they just, you know, don't know what to do with themselves. And they have this cloud over them that they've been just grinding away emotionally every day, watching the one they love pass away. And then within a short period of time after that, they want to talk to somebody else. And I don't know if it's dating, it's just having a different companionship. So I totally understand where you're at. And you know what? And so here's another question, you know, that you have to deal with the heartbreak that goes along with dating again. Is it different or similar?
I mean, I obviously can't speak for it myself because I'm not a senior, but I mean, I would assume that it is. I mean, it's stressful at any age. Dating is stressful. And, you know, sometimes you don't find someone that you click with or that you want to be with for, you know, that you want to commit your life to. Mm-hmm. And in fact, out of all of the respondents in the survey, out of all of those that reported to be single, there was over a quarter of them that had never had a romantic partner for longer than a year. They've never been in a relationship that lasted longer than a year. And I think that that's definitely a big difficulty too, for, again, anyone at any age, but especially once you are 55 and older and you start to wonder, is there something wrong with me? Like, how am I supposed to find this person? Is there anyone out there for me? And, you know, when you have such a large population, when over a quarter of the people that are 55 and older, or they're single and they haven't been in a relationship with someone for 20, 30, 40 years, like a lot of their friends probably have that are in the same age range. It can be frustrating. It can be really disheartening and just a big struggle. You know, you can start getting depressed about it or, I mean, I definitely think that there are those same difficulties with any age group, but it can be especially difficult when you start to question yourself as you become older and wonder, is there anyone out there for me? Am I ever going to find this love that lasts forever?
What's that? There's a number of people in one of the senior communities that I used to give talks to. And a lot of the ladies that are in their mid 70s, okay, they're a little bit older. They've been with somebody for 30 or 40 years and they kind of date, but they don't want to be in a relationship. And the reason why they don't want to be in the relationship or that they grew up in, the wife would take care of the husband, cook, clean, all that kind of stuff. And most of the people at their age, they're looking for somebody that's going to cook clean and they don't want to cook and clean. So yep. I totally get it, you know? I understand the statistics saying, hey, I don't want a relationship, but I don't mind dating. I just don't want to be in a relationship because I don't want to take care of somebody. So it's just very, very interesting. Now, so if somebody's looking to date, basically the very best place to find somebody would be friends, family, community events.
Yes. That was the number one way that people were finding relationship partners. And they said they had the most success was being introduced by people they know, which only makes sense, right? When you have friends that are like, hey, I have a friend that would be really great for you. Or if you end up going to like a party and you meet someone there and you talk to your friend that threw the party and say, hey, who's this person? I want you to set me up with them. They seem really great. Mm-hmm. I think that having those connections where you have a mutual friend, a mutual connection, whether it is a friend or a family member, a coworker, whatever it may be, that they know both of you, they know what you like, what you don't like. You've probably have a relationship with that person that spans a few years, you know, where it's like, oh, we've been friends for 5 years and I feel like this person would be good for you. You're more willing to trust them. I think that people are more willing to trust their friends and family to set them up on dates rather than like a dating app where you're relying on this algorithm and you're hoping that, like you mentioned, the pictures that these people posted are accurate. Whereas when you're being set up by someone that knows you and knows another person, you're going to get more accurate information, right? You're going to know a little bit more about their personality, what the other person's interests are, and such beforehand, rather than just going off of a very vague profile.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've come to the end of the time. Could you do me a favor and tell all our listeners about Choice Mutual and what you guys do and how people can get a hold of you if they need your help?
Yeah, absolutely. So Choice Mutual is a final expense insurance agency. It's based in Reno, Nevada, but services all over the United States. And if you have any questions or want to find out more about Choice Mutual, you can just go to choicemutual.com. That's also where we house all of the studies that we do. So including this survey on senior love is housed there, but there's also a form where you can email us and call us if you do have any specific questions for about anything for us.
Okay. I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Morgan. This has been wonderful. Also been a ton of fun. I wish you happy health and good luck in your dating.
Thank you so much. I'm going to need it.
All right. Hey, thanks, you have Steve. A great day. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye. That was a wonderful show. I want to thank Morgan Henderson from Choice Mutual sharing us with how love's in the air with people over 55. I want to thank David Bradford, as well as Carol Robin, author of the books Connect. I also want to encourage you to educate your children as much as possible on finances, because the earlier they learn, the more likely they're going to have a fruitful retirement, more financially sound life. With that, I want to thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. You can always go to thesavingwithsteve.us or go and check us out on Spotify or Apple. Like us, tell us what you think of the show. So we look forward to seeing you next time. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.